Can you hear me okay? Okay. We were standing back there, and Ryan joked that his Lord's Supper talk was going to take 20 minutes tonight, and I said, well, that's going to be longer than my lesson's going to be. But I was not joking when I said it. You know, since I'm standing in front of a pulpit, I'm going to take the time to offer my endorsement of Landon Rutter to be our next evangelist. I think he would make an excellent evangelist, and he already is an excellent man, and he possesses an excellent wife, and I think he would be good in the role as a preacher, and she would be good in the role as the wife of a preacher. And I tried to convince him to preach tonight. He didn't fall for it, so I am up here. But he is preaching next Sunday morning and evening. So let's get started. I wasted a couple minutes there. Right at the core, right at the heart of the New Testament, we find Jesus Christ. And everything in the New Testament really centers on him. Whatever subject comes up, you know, we can find Jesus right there. Everything that we need comes by him, from him, and through him. The extent of what he is that he's done for us is so great that it's difficult for us to put our appreciation into words. And I think Paul captured that sentiment when he said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, in 2 Corinthians 9:15. He died for our sins, and thereby he's made our salvation possible. He set up an institution in his church in which we can worship and serve God acceptably. And when we enter into a relationship with him, we find ourselves on the receiving end of a multitude of things provided for our benefit, a multitude of blessings. You know, this relationship is often referred to in the New Testament as being in Christ. That's a word that's used a lot, or some form of it is used a lot. So we're going to look at a little bit at that relationship tonight and those benefits that we have by being in Christ. You know, the very words "in Christ" kind of denotes a special relationship. In fact, you might say that Christ and the church, or those of us who are in Christ, are inseparable. If you would turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 22, it says there, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We who are in Christ are the body of Christ. And it is impossible to separate Christ from his church. Without Christ, there would be no church. And without the church, Christ's mission would have been incomplete. In fact, it says there in verse 23, his body is the fullness of him. It must be clearly understood that one cannot accept Christ and reject his church, or accept the church and reject Jesus. The two are inseparable. And we are all, as members of the Church of Christ, as members of his body, are in him, and we are part of that body, but we are still individuals in that body. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talks about his body there. In verse 14 it says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We are all part of the body of Christ. We are united in purpose. We are united in serving this God, etc. We're united in a lot of things, but we are still individual members of this body. And this chapter, chapter 12, talks extensively about how we are important to Christ as members of his body. I'm not important, more important than anyone else in the body to Christ, and likewise none of you are more important to Christ than I am to him. It also talks about in this chapter that knowing this, that should cause us to be united and to have the same care for one another. Verse 25 and 26, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Our focus today is not really on this relationship that we have with one another as part of being in Christ, but it's really our relationship with its head, the head of the body, or Jesus. But that's not to say that there's no denying that being in Christ involves relationships with all of these other folks that are in Christ as well. But being in Christ means that we have a relationship as part of his body directly with him. In the church, in the universal church, there is no hierarchy other than a bunch of lines coming from Jesus Christ to all of us. There is no hierarchy. If you were a business major, you might call that a flat hierarchy. Of course, in the local church, there is a little bit more of a hierarchy. We are subject to the elders, of a local congregation. If a congregation is lucky, is blessed enough to have elders as we are. But we need to recognize that it's He who is it's the head of the body. And it's he who is in charge. It is he who has the power and the authority to direct us and to direct us how we should live our lives. And we must act individually according to our head. Colossians 1:18 says this: He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. He is the head of the body, and he is preeminent overall, and we must act accordingly. And as long as we accept and respect and comply with his authority in this relationship, we can expect to receive many benefits from it. For the most part, I'm talking about spiritual benefits. Do we receive material benefits from being in Christ? Absolutely, we do. But we also receive the benefits that all people do as under his creation. It says in Matthew 5:45 that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And we're told in James 1:16 that every good gift comes down from the Father. And these are wonderful blessings, but God's most precious blessings are those that are spiritual in nature. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, the blessings that we have that are spiritual in nature in Christ. So let's look at some of those. The scripture reading tonight was Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So if you want to turn over there, it says there in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So it clearly says there that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So in truth, if I were going to be honest, I guess I could say that everything else would fit into this category of every spiritual blessing, but that would make this lesson a lot shorter. So we're gonna talk about a few of them individually. It says there that in him we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing that we have comes through Christ. And that shows the completeness of those benefits. All are in Christ. There is no spiritual blessing that is not found in Jesus Christ, in fact. And that means that nothing other than being in Christ is necessary to receive all of the spiritual blessings that God gives us. Now, I know I'm harping on this point. I'm going to harp on it one more time when I say this, that means that there are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ, since all are said to be in Him. So one does not need to be a member, for example, of some denomination to be something in addition to being in Christ in order to receive the rewards that God has to offer. I simply need to be in Christ. So let's look at some of these benefits individually. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So one blessing we see here is that we receive grace because we're in Christ. And that's perhaps the most sought after thing in the Bible is grace or favor with God. It's been sought after ever since we were put on this earth. In fact, we've sought after God's grace, and Jesus is the avenue that we have to that grace today. In fact, He is the epitome of God's grace on earth. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." It says grace has appeared. So where is it? And we've already answered that. It's in Christ. Notice also in John 1:17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And we cannot access the grace of God outside of Him, outside of being in Him. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor." So God's great grace towards us, the grace that we receive by being in Christ, is embodied in His sacrifice and His death on the cross for us. So another blessing that we have is that of salvation. 2 Timothy 2:10 says this, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And Paul's talking that there about being the salvation that's obtained in Christ. In fact, you know, that's why it says in Luke 19:10 that the reason that He came, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And He was able to accomplish that. As He hung on the cross before His death, you know, the last thing He said was, "It is finished." And by that he meant He accomplished what God sent Him here to accomplish. He did what was necessary in order for mankind to have the opportunity of salvation. And because of that salvation, which is in Christ, because of what He accomplished, we have another benefit, and that's eternal life. It says in 1 John 5:11, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." In fact, Christ was our forerunner into eternal life. If you want to turn with me over to 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, let's start reading in verse 8. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Um, So Christ's sacrifice was able to abolish death. It's capable of abolishing death. It did abolish death. No longer are we subject to it if we're in Christ. And furthermore, his gospel brings life and immortality to light. It tells us how to achieve eternal life by being in him. And we'll read a little later about how it is that we get into him. So grace is in Christ, as we read earlier, and salvation is also in Christ, and it's through that salvation that eternal life is also given in Christ. So, and I think we can conclude that that eternal life is also impossible without being in Christ. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." In Christ, we also have redemption. In fact, redemption is only found in Christ. The word redeem means to buy back. Its connotation is around the being able to redeem someone who's in slavery, being able to buy back someone from their price as a slave. If you want to turn over with me to Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 47, we'll start reading there. "If a stranger or sojourner with you becomes rich and your brother beside him becomes poor and sells himself to the stranger or sojourner with you or to a member of the stranger's clan, then after he is sold, he may be redeemed. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle, or his cousin may redeem him, or a close relative from his clan may redeem him. Or if he grows rich, he may redeem himself." And that's the idea of redemption, is being bought back from slavery. And that's the idea of the redemption that we have in Christ as well. But in our case, you know, we've basically sold ourselves into the slavery of sin. And it's Christ who is able to redeem us from that, to pay the price to redeem us from it. And that's illustrated in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, where Paul said that we have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is the only way that people can be brought back back together with God. It was sin that severed that relationship. We're told that in Isaiah chapter 59, that sin separates us from God. And we know that all of us have sinned. And for that chasm that separates us to be spanned, for us to be brought back in fellowship with God, we must be in Christ. Jesus gave his life as a ransom to buy us back, in fact. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." And that verse also mentions another benefit that we have in Christ, which is the forgiveness of sins. The old law required a blood sacrifice to purify God's people. Hebrews 9:22 talks about that. "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." And when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, he said in Matthew 26:28, "For this is my blood of the covenant," referring to the fruit of the vine, "which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So in Christ we have the forgiveness of sins as well. So we've talked about a few benefits tonight. The list is exhaustive of things that we are blessed with in Christ. Righteousness, there are many others which have just escaped my head, but there are several other many other things that we are blessed with in Christ, and we could probably talk all night about those, but let's move now to talking about the how it is that we get into Christ. How do we get into this relationship where we receive all of these spiritual blessings? How is it that we get into Christ? So one thing that's obviously required is faith. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, who God says he is, and who this book says he is. And we've got to believe that he came here to do all of these things for us. Galatians 2:16 says, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus." It requires us to confess that faith. We have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's something, you know, I think that we need to do throughout our lives. We constantly need to be confessing Christ. It requires us to repent. So we talked about sin separating us from God. So we can't be in Christ if we continue in those sins. So we need to stop that. We need to turn away from them, turn towards God. Luke 13:3 says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And we have to be baptized. You probably saw where I was going with this lesson from the beginning, but if you want to turn over to Galatians chapter 3, it says in verse 26, beginning of verse 26, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So there it is. It's the very simple process that we need to follow to be in Christ. And we talked about these blessings that we receive by being in him. I wanted to point out an alternate translation there as well for verse 27. Some versions say, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ," which is another phrase that's used a lot as well. So if grace and salvation, if eternal life, if redemption and forgiveness, if all of these spiritual blessings are in Christ and in are only in Christ, then we ought to be willing to take these simple steps in order to be in him. He's done so much for us, and he's made so much available to us. And what is asked of us in comparison is very small. Excuse me. So you can take these steps tonight to be in Christ. Or if you've done something that has again separated you from God, we mentioned that sin separates from him and takes us out of him. If you've done that, then, you know, you need to repent of that, and you need to ask for forgiveness. And if there are any ways that we can help you tonight, we'd urge you to come and as we stand and sing the song Selected.